work.
Make no mistake about that. At our church, we believe in God's radical, unconditional, and unwavering love for us. At our church, we believe that Jesus is God. We also affirm that you may or may not believe that Jesus is God. And we're not asking you to change your belief system before you attend our church. We're simply inviting you on a journey toward Jesus. For years, churches have placed a high priority on Jesus as the get-out-of-hell-free card. At our church, we place the highest priority on Jesus as a live life to the fullest invitation. At our church, we believe every person has a dream deep inside their hearts, and that God put that dream there, not for our glory, but for His. At our church, we're not concerned with where you've been, but where you're going. At our church, we believe that the Bible is God's Word. It is real, it is living, it is active. We believe that people who don't go to church anywhere are not the enemy. They are real people who need the perfect love that only God can give. And we believe that God gives this love through, of all people, us. At our church, we do not and we will not display a holier-than-thou attitude toward anyone. We are all broken people, but He is putting us back together. And finally, and most importantly, at our church, we believe that Jesus really lived, that He really died on the cross, and that He really rose again on the third day. And we cannot and we will not candy coat or water down that message, ever. Today, you've chosen to sit yourself in the middle of a very safe place to hear a potentially dangerous message. Welcome to our church.
Oh, that was cool. And that's really kind of a lot about who we are. Well, that was good. I'm so glad you came this morning. Be sure to take the time while I'm preaching, instead of just drawing stuff, to use that, write notes. You can take that communication card or connection card inside your bulletin and fill that out. At the end of the service, we'll take up an offering, and you can just put that in there, in the offering basket, bucket, whatever it is that we have going around there today. But that's a lot like who we're all about, really. We're all about Jesus. We're all about, really, Jesus. That's about it. That's what we're all about here. And really, we're kind of like... We kind of want to be the longboard of churches, and so we'll work on that and see. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm limping. We'll get going. I'm limping here because Friday I went out. I went to see a friend in the hospital at Flagler Hospital. Hey, Luigi, how are you, man? Good. I'm good. I'm glad you're here. I won't say that to everybody else that comes in late. Only you. I would only say that to you. We got another friend that's going to go with us to Panama. He's going to meet us up here at noon. It's pretty cool. So I'm stoked about that. But I went surfing after I saw a friend at Flagler Hospital, so I'm just going to go check. The waves were kind of good, so I figured I'd go, but I had my little car, and my longboard wouldn't fit in my little white car, so I had to take my shortboard, or one of my shortboards, and so I took this shortboard out, and we went surfing. It was kind of fun. They were pretty good conditions, and we went by the pier. It wasn't really big, about waist high or something, and I caught a couple, and I was having a good time, and then I caught this one right. And I remember before, I thought, man, I need to go for it. I don't want to come here to Bob. And it may close out on me, but I'm going to go anyway. So not you, Bob, but I didn't want to just bob up and down the water. So I go out on my board, and I go to the right. As I'm going, something just goes wrong. It goes horribly wrong. And I fall somehow, and my board like flips up or backwards or something. And I'm not sure exactly how it happened. I didn't know how it happened until after I got home and looked at my board. But basically, I was riding it like this, and it flipped. I guess it had to flip up like that, and then the wave must have thrown it back into me. I don't know if you can see it or not, but that's where my knee went. My knee went right into there. And fiberglass is a little bit sharp, so the fiberglass then apparently dug down into my knee and kind of filleted it a little bit there, and it was pretty bad. So I'm hurting, my knee's hurting, but I'm thinking I just hit my knee on something, but it couldn't have been my fin because I knew I was out in front of it. And so I'm in the water, bobbing up and down, and I looked at my knee, and it looked really bad. So I just hopped on board, and I said, oh, Lord, please let me get in. Don't let me bleed to death. Don't let a shark come bite me or whatever. So of course, you get in, and people are looking at your bloody leg, and you know what you say. Shark, yeah, you know, a shark. It's no big deal, but it was bad. It was nasty looking. I went to the Coast Guard guys and got them to tape me up because the station's there by the pier, and I didn't want to get in trouble when I got home for messing up my wife's towel. So they wrapped it all up, and I went to the hospital, and I just left. My friend hadn't even left yet. David, he was still there, and he was getting checked out. So he came to see me in the emergency room after I went to see him in the emergency room Wednesday. I'm beginning to think I need to get new friends because we're hanging out at the hospital way too much. But So he comes to see me, and they stapled it out. They put six staples in the one, and just the other one, they kind of did it. I don't know what they did to it, but they fixed it, they say. And they gave me lots of medicine and stuff. They gave me this pain medicine, and I thought, I'm not going to need that, because it felt great at the time, because he did put all these shots in it. It was numb. And I was here Friday night with Bob, and Bob said, oh, you better get that prescription filled, because at 2:30, you know, you're going to wake up at 2:30 hurting like crazy. And I thought, yeah, whatever, you know, but I mean, I already had it filled. I got it filled, because anytime they'll give me medicine, I want to make sure I have it, because you never know. And we went to the, especially with friends I hang out with, and then 2:30 in the morning, not lying, 2:30 in the morning, I woke up. I thought I was going back to the hospital, man. I felt like somebody hit it with a sledgehammer. It was horrible. It was horrible. And then the stuff they gave me makes me itch, and it was crazy. And so then yesterday morning, I was all drugged up doing soccer, and it was interesting. It was very interesting. I just kind of sat down and scratched my head while the kids played. And I was praying that I wouldn't have to take too much this morning, so I haven't taken very much, but it should be an interesting morning, because actually I didn't take any. I'm just kidding. I didn't really. I'm okay. Because I wouldn't stand up here altered, you know, to do that. I'm not. I really didn't. I took one last night before I went to bed, and that's it. So I should be okay today, even though it may not look like it. But I was thinking about it too, is as a church, even in Christianity, a lot of times people want to be more of a short board church or a short board Christian rather than a long board Christian. And or they think Christianity is all about riding a short board instead of riding a long board. Let me explain what I mean. See, a short board people, like, it's what your kids, when they're teenagers, they want to surf. This is what they want. They don't want this, because this isn't quite as cool. I mean, I think it's very cool. I know some kids that are 15, 14, that are phenomenal on a long board. It still requires skill. But this one is the guy, if you're going to be on the cover of the magazine, the guy's riding a shortboard. You've seen the guy up in the air, you know, the guy on X Games. They're riding shortboards. They're doing all the tricks. They're flailing. You go to the beach, they're the little kids that weigh about 125 pounds. They're working the wave, and they're popping up, and they're flashing, and they're throwing spray. And man, they're just, it's the showmanship board is the shortboard. It requires a lot of skill, it requires a lot of effort, it's harder. And kids, when they go to learn, that's what I learned on, you want to learn on a shortboard, because that's where all the flash is. But it's a lot harder to catch a wave on a shortboard than it is on a longboard. Longboard, I mean, you've got a lot more surface area. Man, it's just easier to paddle. It's better. It's just more fun. Really, the longboard, this is what my buddy made me, and my kid, everybody signed the bottom of it for me. It was kind of cool, but actually it's laminated in there. They signed a piece of paper and he laminated it in there. But because there's more surface area, it's like fewer pounds per square inch on the water, and it just cruises. I mean, like, you paddle it just one stroke and you're cruising. It's just easier to paddle, so it's made for old people like me. And you can just, like, you can paddle it easier. You can catch waves easier. There hardly ever has to be a wave and you can catch it. I used to hate the guys on longboards when I was a kid, because we'd be sitting inside trying to catch these little bitty short rides, and I'm trying to catch this little short ride, and as I'm doing this ride, and then there's an old guy always way outside, and he'd catch the wave way before it broke, and he would just be cruising down the wave, and he'd just cruise, and it'd be all about the wave. And I'm looking at him thinking, he's not even doing anything. He's just standing there. I mean, you can walk up the board, you can walk back, there's some tricks you can do on him, but I'm thinking, this guy's just cruising, he's flying. We're up here, man, just killing ourselves, trying to work ourselves to death to catch these waves, and we're not even enjoying them as much as that guy. And what some people have the idea of Christianity is, they think it's the short board mentality. They think, okay, God, you're doing something, but I want to get in, and I've got to work it really, really hard. And if I'm really, really spiritual, or if I'm really, really smart, or if I really, really do all this stuff hard, then you're going to accept me. Everybody's going to notice me. And it's going to be all about me. Longboard says, you know what, God, you're the one that makes the waves. And that's really what we're doing here. We're just riding a wave that God has done. God decided to start this whole deal, and it's his church, it's his deal, and he started it, and we're just kind of riding along with him. And he's making the wave, and we happen to be in the right spot at the right time, and we're seeking him, we're trying to get connected with him, get more surface area on the water, and we're just riding the wave. And we're saying, God, we're enjoying the ride, and it's all about you. See, longboard is kind of all about the wave. And people see the guy riding the longboard, they're not going, wow, look at that trick, unless he's on the nose sometimes, but they're going, wow, look at that wave. On the shortboard, guys are looking at him going, wow, look at that guy, look how well he can surf. And as a church, what we want is, we want people to look and say, wow, what a God they serve. Look what God's doing over there. We don't want them looking saying, wow, look how great and creative and how their video flashes on and off all the time. Or, you know, it's not about that. It's about what God is doing. It's about who Jesus is. And it's just much better in life. Your whole life, really, that it goes to everything else in life too. Because Christianity really isn't about what you can do. Christianity is about what God has done. And it's saying, God, I recognize that you died for me, that you did all the work on the cross. And so I'm going to give my life to you. And it's like you're just getting on the wave saying, God, you're going to have to take me to heaven. I can't work my way there. I can't paddle my way there. I can't be good enough to get there. I've got to trust and believe in you, Jesus. And if you don't get me there, I won't get there. And it's just like, I mean, if there's, God, if you don't send waves, we're not going to surf. And that's the same thing we're doing here. God, if you don't send people, if you don't use us to reach people, they won't be reached. If you don't change hearts, they won't be changed. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to get in the water. We're going to go out. We're going to invite people. We're going to connect. But ultimately, we recognize that it's God that has to do it. And this is why we're kind of a longboard church. That's what we want to be. We don't want to be the church where we're saying, hey, everybody, look at us. Aren't we great? We want to say, hey, look how great our God is. Come and come join in. Another cool thing about a longboard is, I was saying, it's like a good beginner board. It's a good old person board, too. It's just easier. Sometimes people go to church, and it's like shortboard church. You walk in. You don't know what they're saying. You don't understand what they're talking about. You don't know if you have the right dress code. You don't know if you have the right Bible version. You don't know, when to stand up, when to sit down, what to do. They don't explain things real well. And you feel like everybody else there does. And it's like everybody's there riding a shortboard, and you're just there kind of treading water going, man, I don't know what's going on here. These guys are just tearing it up, and they've left me behind. Well, we don't want to be that kind of church. We want to be the kind of church where if you have almost no experience, you can come and jump in. Man, you can get on a longboard. And I'm telling you, today we could go out to the beach. If you've never surfed before, I could almost guarantee you I could get you to stand up on this longboard. We could get you up on it. And that's what we want to be as a church. We want it to be where if you have no church background, you can come here and you can get something that's relevant for your life. You can understand what we're talking about. You may not even believe it all. You probably won't. I mean, I understand that. I used to be an atheist. We've had several people come in that are agnostic or atheist when they come. They say, no, I don't buy it. But everybody there is real friendly, and it made sense to my life a little bit. And they keep coming, And you know what I've seen happen time and time again is as they're exposed to the wave of God's word, as they get exposed to God, they get to see who he is. And when they see who he is, he loves them. And because he loves them, they end up giving their lives to him. He changes lives all the time. It's been great. It's been really cool. The cool thing about this whole deal is that it's Jesus' church. See, what we're about here, if you wonder what church is supposed to be about, it's a great Sunday to be here, because I'm just going to tell you real briefly what we're about, and then we're going to sing. We're going to have a good time. We're going to actually do the Lord's Supper there at the end, too. But it's a great Sunday to be here, because the sermon's going to be shorter. But I just want to look at a few verses. Did it say, yeah, right behind me or something? or it just went away? Matthew chapter 16, Jesus, we looked at this, and we usually go verse by verse through the Bible, and we just went through Matthew 16. We're going to pick back up in that next week, a really, really cool story right there at the end of Matthew 16, beginning actually Matthew 17. But in Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to Peter, and Peter has just confessed and just told him, he asked him, who do people say that I am? And some of them said he was Elijah, some said he was a prophet. Then he turns and says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. Basically, he says, you're the one. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, and speaking of that confession, of that teaching, of this truth that he is the Messiah, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, there are a couple of things, there are a lot of stuff in there to dig out of it. I just want us to notice a couple of things from this. Number one, that whole video was kind of cool because it said, this is our church, at our church we're about this, at our church we're about this. Well, that's kind of cool and all, but it's not our church, is it? I mean, look at the verse. It's in your bulletin. If it won't flash up and down off the screen. Whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. Whose church is it? Very good. So that's easy. So we'll get that settled, right? That it is Jesus. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not our church. Now, I'm not one of those guys that gets hung up on words. So if you say, hey, come to my church with me, I'm not going to go, oh, no, it's not your church. It's not like that. You know, we understand that. And it's okay to say those things. What's bad is when people start to think those things. When people start to think, it really is my church. And you know what, man? They sat in my chair and they parked in my spot. And they didn't do things at my church the way that I thought they should be done. And it didn't happen the way because I wanted it to happen. And then when you start thinking that and you forget, man, this is not my church, it's Jesus' church. And we want to do things the way that he wants us to do them. And that's what we're going to always be about. And remember that this is Jesus' church. It's about him. It's about what he's doing. We're just trying to hop on the longboard and ride the wave that he's already made. And the way he's shown us to do it is all found right in here. This is our guidebook. This is our rule book. Not how we used to do it, not how we've always seen it done. But we're going to go by this book. Because it's not our church, it's Jesus' church. That's right. And so, and we're just kind of riding the way that he's built, but it's his church. And so he's the one that has done it. Now, here's another truth. The last one I want you to see is that, just from this verse, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, anyone here ever been attacked by a gate? Anyway, I got attacked by a surfboard the other day, but I didn't get attacked by a gate. You've been attacked by a gate? Now, tell me, were you going down the road and it just came out onto the road and got you? You're in a field trying to go through the gate, and then it attacked you, right? Yeah, I've had that happen a few times. Yeah, and so especially my uncle has a ranch, and they'll it's bad. But and I'm always the gate guy because I wouldn't drive. I'd have to get out and get the gate. But for the most part, none of us have been attacked by a gate. And the reason you've never been attacked by a gate, unless you're Miss Earlene, is because a gate is a defensive deal. Deal. I can't think of a better word. It's a defensive fortress. It's a defensive apparatus. That sounds fancy, doesn't it? A gate is never meant to be on the offensive. When Jesus said, on this rock, on this confession, this truth of who I am, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You're saying the gates of death, all those things, are not going to prevail against it. But he's saying this defense isn't going to be able to stand against my church. What he's implying is that the church is supposed to be on offense. We're not supposed to be on defense. We're supposed to be on offense. But growing up, man, I thought church was supposed to be on defense. Because here's what I heard. Man, you don't want to listen to that kind of music. You don't want to be around those kind of people. You want to stay back. You want to, you know, we have our little fortress set up here. Okay, I got my rules. I got my regulations. Okay, I got it all right. I'm good. I'm safe. We're safe for the whole family. You know, so we're safe, right? And we would sit back there all the time, and you're sitting behind all this stuff, and you think, okay, I'm going to just kind of get back in my bunker. I'm going to hunker down in my bunker, and I'm going to be back here hunkering in my bunker, and I'm okay. And we get all, Christians, come on here, Christians. We're not like them. We vote different than them. We dress different than them. We're okay. Okay, let's get together. Let's do our Bible study. Isn't that great? Aren't we good? Yeah, they're bad. Aren't you glad we're here? Yeah, I'm glad we're here. I didn't really do that, but that's how some Christians think it is. And then every now and then they'll peek up. They'll go, man, look out there, look out there. There's a sinner over there. Don't go, don't talk to them. Don't hang out with them. Don't go over there, man. They got sin over there. We got to stay away from them. And instead, I mean, the church is on the defensive, and we like think that the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against us. So we're like sitting here going, oh, man, here come the gates. There's no gates coming. They can't stand against you, is what he says. What he says is that the church is supposed to be charging the gates of hell. We're supposed to be on the attack. We're supposed to be going where they are and saying, listen, God's great and he loves you. And I don't care if you cuss and smoke and smell funny. It doesn't bother me. I love you. God loves you. And that's the most important thing. That's what matters the most. Not even that smoking is really that big of a deal. I mean, every church in North Carolina was built on tobacco. So, you know, that and all the deacons smoke out back all the time when I go out there. I swear I went to school and the chairman of the deacons is always out back. But and that's not the horrible thing. But you go over there and you see these people, and instead of like isolating ourselves, which is easy to do in church, especially if we grow and you get busy and you have a Bible study every night of the week, and you never get to see your neighbors, you never get to know anybody else. And it's easy just to hide out and think, okay, we're in our safe little bubble. We're like the bubble boy on Seinfeld, and we're good to go. And, you know, nobody can touch us, and we can't touch them, but we're going to be clean, and it's going to be good. Well, Jesus didn't leave us here to stay clean. I mean, we want to stay clean. We want to be pure. You don't want to go involve yourself in sin. But if you think staying clean means you don't have any interaction with the world, then you're missing it. And you're going to miss out on what we're doing as a church, because we're not about that. We're about getting into the community. We're about making a difference. We're about connecting and helping people. That's what ministry is about. It's about reaching people. There are two approaches basically to life and ministry. One is playing to win. And when you play to win, you got to take some risks. You're going to get your knee busted up sometimes. You're going to blow it sometimes. You're going to spend some money on some outreach and it's not going to work. You're going to try something new that some people are going to get mad at, and they're going to get offended, and they're even going to leave. Some people aren't going to get it. Some people want church to be all about them, and they don't really like it when we start talking about we're not going to have it about you guys. And that's really kind of it. Once you start, that's kind of the weird thing. We're kind of a weird church. Once you start coming for a while, it kind of quits being so much about you. It's always about Jesus. But we really care a lot about the people that aren't even here yet. We really do. And we really do things. We think about them all the time. We want to reach them all the time. And so when we come here, the people that come here and get involved, I had it for later, but I'm telling you, most people that are already sitting in this room right now are involved in ministry. And they're involved in ministry because they want to reach and care for people. And so once you're here too long, it quits being about you, and you're just joining a mission organization that's on mission for God, trying to reach this community and around the world. But playing to win is one way, or playing not to lose is another. And see, it's easy to get in that playing not to lose mentality. It's hard to do it where we are right now because we don't really have any assets. We don't really have a whole lot to lose. We're just kind of going for it, you know, and it's kind of fun. But the day will come when, if the Lord wills, if it's his plan, when we'll have some assets and we'll have some stuff, and maybe we'll have some bills here and there, bigger bills anyway, and we'll be saying, you know, God, we got to make sure we maintain. We have to make sure we keep the people that we have. We don't want to offend anybody. We got to keep everything going for ourselves. And it almost becomes an end to itself. And if we're not careful, we can get our focus off of reaching this community, off of really glorifying God and being missions-minded. And we can get our focus on ourselves. And we'll be playing not to lose, which is like the dumbest thing in the world, really. I mean, you ever watch football? Whoever watches football? The worst defense in the world is the prevent defense, right? Prevent defense is your team gets ahead by 3 points. There's like a minute 56 left. And you decide, you know what, they're on the 30-yard line. Their team has the ball. They're on the 30-yard line on their side of the field. Instead of attacking them, instead of going for it, instead of trying to blitz them, we're just going to back up. We'll give them 10 yards. We'll give them 5 yards. We'll give them 15. We're just going to make sure we keep them out of the end zone. And they always try to do that against like Peyton Manning or something crazy like that, don't they? And so they do that, and what happens? They've been playing for an hour, and they haven't gotten in the end zone, and here they go. They'll march right down the field because everybody backs up and starts playing prevent defense, and they give them all this space in here. And the enemy marches right down the field and scores. And a lot of churches, for some reason, have got this prevent defense mentality of, let's just keep the people that we have happy. We don't want to lose anybody. We're going to do that, and because of that, we got to make sure they're happy. And then when new people come, or when they try to reach people, you know, these people don't like it so much sometimes, so they really hold off on doing that. And it's just a prevent defense. And the enemy just marches right down the field. He says, score. That's exactly what I want from you guys. I want you guys just to be focused on yourself. I want you guys to just not worry about reaching people. Just get comfortable. Make something that you can be proud of. And the church is not supposed to do that. The church is supposed to be on the offensive. We're supposed to be attacking the ball. We're supposed to be saying, you know what? There are lives out there that need help. There are kids in our neighborhood that need somebody to invest in them. There are people who God loves that don't even know. They don't really understand that Jesus died for them. And we need to go tell them. That's what we're supposed to be about. And ministry is always about, it's going to be about glorifying God and reaching and helping people. It's never going to be about keeping people. It's going to be about reaching people. So really, that's kind of the deal there. And that's a longboard kind of mentality too, because really the shortboard mentality says, you know what, we're going to perform. We're going to make something that we like coming to, something that our kids like, which our kids love it. It's just a byproduct because we're trying to do something that our kids, that other people's kids will like. I mean, and that's kind of it. We're going to do something, you know, we're doing something to perform, or we're doing something to just, here's what God's doing. He loves this community. He's reaching them through his word, and we're going to ride the wave with him. The three things, only three things we're doing as a church. You ready for them? Three things we're doing as a church. Number one is loving God. We want to help people love God. They ask Jesus in Matthew chapter 22. Look what they said. Matthew 22. He said, here's the most important thing. Most important thing. Somebody comes up to Jesus and asks him, what's the most important commandment? He said, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's what Jesus said is number one. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. Everything else in life, this is the one thing that matters more than anything, loving God. It's the most important thing. That's what we're going to focus on here as a church. That's what we're all about. It's about loving God. That's Sunday morning is what we've designed to help to love God. We want to worship him. We're going to sing to him in a minute. And it's not about great, we want to have great music, and we will one day whenever I get out of here, the Lord puts a better singer up here, which he may be very soon, but let's see. Y'all see when I'm in Panama. I think we'll have a good one then, but we'll get, just for that Sunday though, but then we're going to do that Sunday, we're having some other musicians too. It's going to be good. So, but when we're singing, it's not about singing, it's about worshiping God. Every time we come here, we look at this book, because you have to know who God is to worship him, right? And just about every Sunday, don't I tell you to do something when you go home? You need to read this Bible for yourself, don't you? You need to know what God says. Don't take my word for it. Listen, if you come to church and this is the only time you get this, that'd be like eating lunch today and saying, you know what, I'm done for the week. That's it, I'm done, I'm good. No, I'm good, I'm okay. I don't need lunch tomorrow. I don't need it the next day. You don't do that, do you? Don't come to church and listen to me teach the Bible and then go home and say, okay, I'm done for the week. man, get home and look at it. Say, you know what? I want to know if what he said was really true. Let me make sure that lines up with the rest of the Word of God. Let me know what this book says. Because this is how you're going to get to know who God is. The whole loving God thing, listen, you can't just show up and say, okay, I love God. Because we do have a problem, don't we? We're sinners, right? Everybody sinned? Anybody here not sinned ever? Nobody. Okay, we're all sinners. Now, the Bible says that sin separates us from God. So there's a problem. We can't just, and you can't just be good enough to make things better, to be right with Him. So in order to enter into this real love relationship with God, you've got to have that sin problem taken care of. The way God set it up for that to be taken care of is He sent His Son to die on a cross for your sin, because the wages of that sin is death. And Jesus paid for your sin if you trust Him. And so He says, if you turn from your sin and you place your faith in Me, you can be forgiven. If you give your life to Christ, that's what it means to be a Christian. If you do that, He says, that's how you get to heaven. And so that's where that relationship starts. That's what we're all about. We're all about loving God. And if you get that one thing right, everything else falls into place. We're about loving God. And then if you really love God, there should be a difference in your life. Now, some of you haven't been in church in a long time because you saw people that said they loved God, but they didn't do commandment number two. And commandment number two is that you're supposed to love people. Remember, the way we say it is, if you say you love God, we should see you loving people. They asked him, and Jesus, the guy only asks him what the first commandment was, but he threw down on the second one too with him. He just said, I tell you what, not only is it the first commandment, but the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments have been all along the prophets. He said, number one, commandment number one is love God. Commandment number two is to love your neighbor. And we're to be loving and connecting with people. That's what we're going to be about here. And what we're going to be about, in fact, this year, I'm so stoked because we're really, really getting set to do that even better than we do now. Right now, you guys do it through ministry. You do it through outreach. You do it through serving together and connecting. We do it through donuts and coffee and everything else. You know, I love that. And we connect that way. But we're going to set up a structured way to connect even better. We've been doing a study called Starting Point at my house. It's been great. It's a small group environment. And we're going to launch three or four small group environments for you guys just during the week for you to take time and just gather around the Word of God in someone's home, real laid back, just like church. And it's going to be just a great time to connect with other people. But small groups is what we're going to be all about. We'll start them off. We'll have various ones in May. And then in the fall, we're going to start where we do sermon-based small groups, where we talk about kind of the same text that we looked at on Sunday morning. But that's where we're going. We'll have sign-ups for you for that coming up. In fact, we're going to start a new round of Starting Point May 14th. If you're interested in doing that, see me about that. And then I'll also have sign-ups for you for the other small groups that'll start about the same time as well. And Starting Point is designed for people that maybe don't have a lot of church background or were in church a long time ago and they're just coming back, or people that aren't even Christians yet. It's great for them as well. So but that's just kind of one way we do it. But loving people, you've got to connect with people. You've got to know people. And that's what we want you to connect with other people. I'm saying, when I go surfing, I went surfing Friday and I was kind of okay with it and it's still kind of fun, but I like surfing with my friends a lot better. Because I tell you, I do. I spend a lot of time bobbing, Bob. I'm out there bobbing and I'm just floating around and it's like, I mean, I'll pray. But I like it when I have a friend with me. It's just more fun to do it with someone else. I mean, to have somebody to surf with, to talk to them, to see them ride the waves, say, man, good wave, or whatever it is. It's true in everything. It's more fun to shop with other people, unless it's your husband or wife sometimes, and they're wanting you to go home. But it's more fun to play golf with somebody. It's more fun to do life together. And we want you guys to connect and love each other, because that's a command from God. And you can't love people you don't know. So we got to connect. We've got to get to know each other and love each other that way. We want to be all about loving people, meeting needs. Ultimately, see, because here's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus, right? It's all about Jesus. It's His church. And what He said is our number one thing we're supposed to do is to what? Love God. Number two, we're supposed to love people. And then He told us in Matthew chapter 28, He's leaving the church and He tells them, here's what I want you to do. Your job as a church is to make a whole bunch of committees and have a lot of Bible studies and and get people away from their home all the time. He doesn't say that, does He? Look what He says in Matthew 28:19. He says, here it is. He says, in verse 18, I don't even think I put it on there, but He says, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Because it's His world, right? It's His church. It's His deal. He says, I've got all the authority. Here's what I want you to do. Go, therefore, and make disciples. A disciple is just somebody that follows Christ, that understands who God is, somebody that loves God, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have a baptism service hopefully next week. And all that is, it's just somebody that said, I have trusted Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to be identified with Him. It doesn't get you to heaven being baptized, doesn't it? It's the way the Bible set up for you to show that I am publicly identified with Jesus Christ. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. That's what we do here. That's why we're looking at the Bible right now. Every Sunday you come here, we're going to look at the Bible. because this is what he's commanded us. This is our guidebook. This is his letter to us. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Basically, what he says is, church, your job, your mission is to go out and take this message of who Jesus is to the rest of the world. And if we're not careful as we grow, because we're busy, and we can start to even take ministry and think it's all about ministry. It's all about the setup. It's all about the tear down. It's all about whatever it is we're doing here, this Bible study, that Bible study. And it gets busy. So here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do. We've got a 5-year plan. We're 1 year old, right? So on for year two, here's what we're going to do. We're going to love God. We're going to love people. And we're going to change the world. Because really that making disciples thing is really changing the world. Because if you help somebody come to know God and love God, you've changed their family. You've changed the way their kids are raised. You've changed everything about them. That's how you change the world. It's not by political activism. You're not going to come here. We're not going to tell you how to vote. We're not going to tell you who the bad guys are, who the good guys are. We're going to look, see what the Bible says. And we're going to live that out. So that's kind of it. So that's year two. Now year three, we've got a whole cool direction for year three, because we'll be probably getting a building and stuff about then. I don't even think about that. Forget I said that. But we're getting a building and stuff about then. And some of you are already going, building? Oh, cool. And but some of you are like, building? I thought this is where all churches met. And I like that. So, but year three, we're going to do that. And, you know, so in order to shift, we're going to shift the focus a little bit. And we're going to actually focus a lot on loving God, loving people, and changing the world. 10 years from now, you come back, you should find a church full of people that are loving God, loving people, changing the world. And here's how we do it. 3 environments. This Sunday morning service is what we focus on a lot. Listen, we want this to be a great experience. We're going to work on the video for next week. It's killing me that it's doing that. I'm going to get it fixed. It's my bad. I should have had it ready ahead of time. But I hate that that's distracting. And I apologize. If it's your first time here, it's usually much better than that. Because I want this to be an environment where it's your first time you come, that you get something out of it. And you're not distracted. And you think, you know what? They cared about me. And that meant something. And I want you to come back because God loves you. And so we want this to be great. That's why our kids are over there right now. We want this to be the best hour of their week. And you have some great volunteers with them. It's amazing what it takes to do all this. But and that's kind of the deal there too. There's over 30 positions that we have of people who are just working with children. And they rotate. But that's a lot of people. There's probably 15 or 20 that set up and tear down every week. 15 that welcome and greet, 15 or 20 that bring donuts. We don't have that many people. I mean, a lot of people are doing 2 or 3 things. But they're all ministry-minded. They're thinking about other people. But here's the thing. We're going to keep it simple. So here's what it is. We're going to do small groups. We're going to work Sunday morning. This thing is a big deal. Sunday mornings are a big deal. Weekend services, small groups. And then changing the world is all about you being involved in ministry and missions. That's why we're going to Panama. It's about changing the world. So Sunday morning, small groups, and missions, right? Those are our 3 things, our ministry. And I want you to be involved in ministry somewhere, somehow. You can be quiet and be involved in ministry. You can be outgoing and be involved in ministry. But everybody needs to have something they're doing to advance the cause, to help us reach this community. That's our thing. That's all we're going to do. And I know you, if you have a lot of church background, you may be sitting there going, well, wait a minute. What about this? What about, you can fill in the blank. What about that ministry they had? You know, what about the crochet ministry we had at my old church? Or what about the scrapbooking thing? Or what about all this other stuff? And I'm saying, those are fine things to do. But as a church, we're not going to focus. We're choosing to focus our energy and our effort on the Sunday morning service, small groups, and that. So there's not a women's ministry, because they're scary. I'm just kidding. That's not why. You're only laughing because it's true a little bit. But they're not really. But the problem is, and it's not that they're bad, but it's just that you're taking effort and energy. It's not a bad thing. And some churches do them really, really well. They really do. But we're not going to do that. Because here's the thing. What you do when you do that, whether it's a men's ministry or whatever it is like that, you take the energy and effort that everybody's putting into this. Or we could take one like just to say Awanas. Like, are we going to do Awanas? We're not going to do Awanas. There's a good church down the road that doesn't want us. And I would say, man, take them. Go. I mean, if I needed another night of the week to do something with my kids, and that's a great program. They can learn a lot of the Bible there. I think it's a good thing. But I'm telling you, it's taking everything we've got to make this the best hour of the week. And if I try to get you guys and recruit you guys, say, okay, we're going to spend 2 more hours during the week working on Awanas, man, it's going to wear you guys out. And that's not going to be as good as it is. And it's the same thing with those other ministries. It's not that they're bad things. It's just not the thing we're going to focus on. It's like if we took a water hose. You ever take the water hose and you put that nozzle on the end of it and you're washing your car with it and you do the little spray thing? And it's not that big of a deal. It kind of just goes, you know, like the shower deal, it goes, and it's really soft. It doesn't hurt. But you take that, you get that laser jet focus thing, you know, you ever do that with your friends? You just beam them with it, and it feels like it's going to cut into them, you know? It's like, I mean, you could cut metal with water if you focus it enough, can't you? But when you diffuse it, it's not nearly as effective, is it? As a church, I want us to be focused on loving God, loving people, and changing the world. And if we get too spread out and too diffused out on that, we're going to miss it. And we're not going to be as effective as God wants us to be. So that's where we're going. That's who we are. And I just want to tell you that up front. And I'm not offended if you feel like, man, that's not for me. I just can't be a part of that. I understand that. I hate that. But for the most part, people that don't know God, they're not worried about that stuff. Usually it's Christians. They're like, well, they're not doing like my old church, or it didn't have this like over there. And they're the ones that kind of like, I don't know. Well, for the most part, if you're already on your way to heaven, that's great. And I love you and I want you to join us. But if you don't, I'm okay, because you're on your way to heaven, right? So that's a good thing. So we're happy there. Our mission is to take people that are far from God, reach them, and help them get to know him. Does that make sense? Are you guys still, is anybody still here? Anybody staying for lunch now? I just offended like everybody. I'm sorry. Okay, Rob is good. Okay, good. So me and Rob will have a lot of stuff to eat. But you guys get involved. We're in mission. We're not just here to survive. We're here to win. Here's what I want. A year from now, I'm praying that every one of you will be more involved in fulfilling the Great Commission than you are right now. And Christianity is not safe. I mean, we're going to Panama, and I just found out yesterday that we're actually sleeping. I thought we were staying in a hotel, and now we're going to go stay in a mountain with no electricity, like 2 hours away from where we were, if everybody still goes. And it's kind of, I got me a tetanus shot already, though, because of my knee, so that was kind of good. But man, Christianity is not supposed to be safe. So if you want to risk a little bit, this is the place for you. If you want a safe place, it's safe to kind of come and learn about God here. But if you're going to follow God here, it's not going to be safe. We're going to take some risks. And that's what we're going to be about. That's just who we are. And we don't apologize for that. And we're glad. We're looking for people that want to get in on that as well. Maybe today, for the first time though in your life, you realize that when it came to your relationship with God, maybe you've been trying to ride the short board. Maybe you've been saying, God, okay, I'll tell you what, God, if I go to church today, you'll accept me. If I give some money, you'll accept me. I did this religious stuff when I was a kid, so you'll accept me. And look at me perform, God. And maybe today you realize that's not going to get you to heaven. Maybe today you realize, you know what, I can't be good enough. I am a sinner. I have blown it. I don't have what it takes to get to heaven. But Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin, and I want to give my heart to you. I'm telling you today, if you'll turn from your sin and you place your faith in him, he'll forgive you. Open arms, says, come on in. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your background is. You could be the most religious person and need to do that, or you could be the worst pagan. You could have been afraid the whole thing's going to fall in on you tonight when you came in. God will still accept you if you turn from your sin and place your faith in him. I beg you, do that today. Because then it's like you're stepping on the longboard and you're saying, God, it's about you. I'm just riding the wave. I'm with you, Lord. Wherever you take me, that's where I'm going to go. It's not about my performance anymore. I'm trusting you, Jesus. Does that make sense? All right, well, good deal. Well, here's what I want you to do, guys. I want you to think about something. I want you to remember that this is all about Jesus, that he gave his life so that we could live. And I want you just to focus on that. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, I want to encourage you to do that, even in this moment. You can do it right there with your eyes wide open. You can say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I need forgiveness for my sin. I want to turn from my sin and place my faith in you. Maybe you would say, Lord, I want to join these people because I understand they're out to change the world. I understand they're out to help other people get to know you, and they're out to take some risks, and they want to be focused in it. And God, that sounds like something I want to be a part of. So Lord, show me how I can help. Lord, I want to get in on the army. I want to get in on the mission here. And maybe have God open the door and show you where you can do that. There are plenty of places to serve here. And we'll talk to you more about it at lunch. Hang around for that. Or if you're not even there yet, maybe you don't even know if God's real. You may say, God, I don't even know if you're really real or not. Lord, I'd like to know. If you are real, will you show yourself to me? Those are all great prayers to pray. I think that in a year from now, I think we're going to see some more people here. I think I shouldn't do my leg like that. I think in a year from now, we're going to see some more people here. And I think they're going to be here because some of you are getting this. Some of you understand this isn't about us. And you're going to invest in a relationship. You're going to invite someone. And you're going to see them give their life to Christ. And their life and their family, their whole thing's going to be changed. Some of you are here. You've been here from the beginning. And you look around, you see people that are here because you've been faithful to give. You've been faithful to serve. You've been faithful. And we've seen lives changed. It's been an amazing ride. I had a lot of statistics I was going to share with you, but I don't want to compare to other people. And plus, most of them are made up. I read two of them this week. One of them was 2 out of 3 church plants fail in the first year. Another guy who was a church planter said 9 out of 10 fail in the first year. I think they made both those up. But they say that, actually, I think 7 out of 10 statistics are made up on the spot. They just make them all up, but you'll get that later. But the reality is, this is an amazing thing. I know this is true. The average church attendance in America is 84. We had like 120 people last week. I mean, that's just a year. I mean, God's obviously doing something here, not because there's an attendance, but because we've seen life after life after life change. That's what we're in this for. The only reason we can do this is because Jesus died on the cross for us, though. It's all about Him. And when we're about to do the Lord, observe the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing some songs and do the Lord's Supper. But when we do this, what this is all about, it's not about you don't get forgiven because you eat some bread and drink some juice. It doesn't magically turn into the body and blood of Christ. The Lord's Supper is something set up by Jesus for us to remember that He actually gave His life. He actually lived and died, and He actually bled for us. And it's really designed for people that have already stepped across the line, people that have already given their hearts to Christ is who it's really for. And it's for people that have trusted Christ, but not only just people that have trusted Christ, but people that are right with God, that Christians that aren't holding sin in their life. Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 11. He told us about it. He said, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. We had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And He knew that for years and years, here we are centuries later, people would gather together and remember that He gave His body, He shed His blood, so that we could be forgiven. He said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." But then He gives us the warning. He says, "Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." And the Lord's Supper is a great thing because it gives us an opportunity as Christians to pause and examine ourselves. And we're supposed to examine ourselves and say, "God, is there anything in my life right now that is displeasing to you?" And so the Lord's Supper is really kind of set up. It's a deal that Christians do. And it's a deal that Christians, after they examine their hearts and realize, you know what, God, as much as I am, and none of us are saying we're perfect, we're saying, "God, where you show me sin, I repent. I turn away from that. And I don't have a problem with other people right now." There are times in your life where we offer the Lord's Supper and you may need to pass. And that's a wise thing because you don't want to go and say, "Okay, I'm gonna acknowledge, Jesus, that you actually shed your blood and your body was broken for me to pay for my sin while I hold on to and love sin." You want to make sure you're right with God. What we're going to do in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And you can go to, there's two tables set up in the back here, and they have bread and some juice on them. And you just observe the Lord's Supper. But as you do it in a reverent attitude. I think, "Lord, I acknowledge, I understand that you died for me. I've trusted you, and as much as I'm able, I'm living for you." And it's just to remember. And I'm just going to have you do that as you feel led. We're not going to lead everybody at one time. And some people will go to their first song. Some people will go to the second song. Some people will go to the third song. Whenever, however you want to do it, it's fine. But just consider those things. It's designed for Christians that are right with God. Does that make sense? So, but it's open to you if you fit in those categories. Let's bow our heads together right now.